You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. I'm Pastor Jonathan Fisk, and this morning we are greeted by the words of Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In His hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Now, if you've had any connection with the Liturgy of Morning Prayer in the Lutheran Service Book or Lutheran Worship or Lutheran Book of Worship or the history of morning prayer in various matin services, then right after that, you want to say glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, so it is now and ever shall be. Amen. Because you're used to singing these words as the Venite, a Latin word, which just means, O come, right? O come, let us sing, the first words of the psalm. It really is the first song of praise that happens in any standard or average or ancient morning prayer service. That the ancient church saw these words and they said, this is a good way to talk about what we're here for. We're here to sing about the God who created us. We're asking Him to come down and be merciful upon us and to treat us as His people, as the sheep of His hand, those redeemed by Christ and brought into His fold. And we acknowledge that God is great, that He is good, that He is the Creator and King. But we also acknowledge our need and His answer to our need, that He is the rock of our salvation. What you don't always get, as so often is the case, is the rest of the psalm. Just a few more verses. But, oh man, why did we cut them off? Well, I think you'll know once I read them. Starting at verse 7 again, He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. And then, that's not the end of the verse. There's more. Today, if you hear His voice, verse 8, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart and have not known my ways. Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's the end of the psalm, right? Ooh. Yeah, why do we cut that part out? Because it's scary? Because it's intense? It isn't really the way to necessarily begin every morning. I mean, you're moving into that matins or the morning prayer service. There's going to be plenty of law to come. It's not as if we're trying to cut away the law. But it's a little bit harder to sing that with joy, don't you think? To be all excited about that day of bitterness, Meribah and Massa, where the people of Israel quarreled with the Lord, rebelled against Him and complained about Him bringing them into the wilderness simply to destroy them, so much so that even Moses was given in to his temptation, and rather than hearing the word of the Lord, speak to the rock and I will give them water, he struck the rock. Meribah is the Hebrew word for quarreling, divisiveness, dissension. And Massa means to test, which in the context of our Lord means to not believe what He says, to try Him, to hear His word and say, I do not buy it. So then it's kind of a doubly dangerous thing, don't you think, when God says, like, hey, let me remind you not to harden your hearts as you did on the day of division and the day of testing. Maybe we shouldn't divide the psalm at that point and not pay attention to what it says. I'm not advocating that we change the readings. I'm not advocating that we change the liturgy. I like the liturgy just fine the way it is. Thank you. I'm advocating that we do not forget that to worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord our Maker is to acknowledge His word as supreme and triumphant and true, and ourselves as but His slaves, His servants, submitted and subjected to all that He says, and not only those parts that we happen to like. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a Lutheran who lived under the Nazi regime and did his part to fight back against it. He has a little book, a wonderful little book, called Psalms, the Prayer Book of the Bible. It's from Augsburg Fortress. You can find it at augsburgfortress.org. And in just a few pages, he manages to really teach you how to read the Psalms. And here's something he says about the Psalms of Holy History. He says, "Some Psalms tell us about the history of the people of God on earth, about the electing grace and faithfulness of God and the unfaithfulness and ingratitude of His people. They are not addressed as a prayer to anyone. How ought we to pray these psalms? We pray them as a summons to thanksgiving, to praise, to commitment, to petition, to confession of sin, to a call for help in the light of past history of salvation. It's a call to thanksgiving for the goodness of God, which continues with respect to His people into eternity. And we as contemporaries experience it just as did our fathers. We experience praise for the miracles which God works for our benefit, for the redemption of His people out of Egypt all the way to Golgotha, commitment to keep the command of God more faithfully than before, petition concerning the grace of God according to promise, confession of our own sin, unfaithfulness and unworthiness in the face of such compassion, call for help concerning the final gathering and redemption of the people of God. We pray these psalms when we regard all that God does once for His people as done for us. When we confess our guilt and God's grace. When we hold God true to His promises on the basis of His former benefits and request their fulfillment. And when we finally see the entire history of God with all His people fulfilled in Jesus Christ, through whom we have been helped and will be helped. For the sake of Jesus Christ, we bring God thanksgiving, petition, and confession." Again, the words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer from his little book on the Psalms.